Life in Canada changed one
month
ago.
More than 1 million Canadians lost their jobs.
With a disturbing number of residents in long-term care facilities.
Not enough capacity exists in Canada to test everyone.
COVID-19 is hitting hard tonight on three fronts.
Inside the Mackenzie Town Care Center.
How did we get here? In a matter of days, the places we thought we were going, the road we were on, the people we were traveling with, nowhere in sight. Our goals, our hopes, our sense of connection, things that gave life purpose, gave us security, gone. Where was God in all this? Will life ever return to normal? What even is normal? How do we find our way through this?
Welcome to FAC. Thank you for joining us this weekend. I want to introduce myself if you're a little new to who we are. My name's James. I'm one of the pastors here. And in my humble opinion, I have the coolest accent of anybody that works or attends this church. I grew up in Scotland, although I was born in Scotland. I grew up in Northern Ireland. That explains it a little. But we're a very international church. So if you actually come from another country or another part of the country, please take a moment online right now. Comment. It'd be fascinating to see where we're all from, who's watching, and where we originally came from. Today's the start of a brand new teaching series here at FAC called Finding Your Way. And we're going to think this weekend in particular about finding your way in the middle of a storm. What would that look like? I think many of us would really like to know the answer to that type of question. What started as a health concern on the other side of the planet has turned into a global pandemic. Many of us have lost somebody we love already. Many of us have family members who are sick or highly at risk. In a plummeting economy, many of us have lost jobs. We're worried about paying bills. We're worried about keeping our homes. How do you find your way through this? It's challenging. We've probably all watched post-apocalyptic movies at somewhere in the past, never realizing that now we're all in the cast. What's this all about? How do we find our way? As anxiety rises and loneliness increases, as security slips away, how are we supposed to respond? How do we find our way in the middle of the storm? I'd like to begin with a short story in the life of Jesus that takes place in the Sea of Galilee. Gillian and I had the opportunity to visit there a couple of years ago. It's a beautiful place. And interestingly, in the museum right beside the sea, they've discovered a boat that dates all the way back to Jesus' time that's been preserved, so you can have a look at it. We've got a picture here for you to look for yourself. And if you're at home watching with small kids, maybe you could get them to take some time while I talk to draw a picture of Jesus in a little boat like this. You could post them in the comments or later on, and if you post them, tag FEC Calgary so that we get a chance to look at all of the artwork and pictures that have been made. The story is found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, towards the very end of the chapter. Mark 4, beginning at verse 35. That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, he took them along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves nearly broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him." Jesus' presence was so different everywhere he went. People noticed him. He had a startling effect upon them. Children were loved. The downtrodden were lifted up. The social outcasts were accepted. Those who were sick were healed. The religious were challenged and scandalized. The corrupt were put in their place. And in this particular story, even the storm is stilled. No wonder Jesus' friends were asking the question, who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him. The answer might seem obvious to us, and so the question seems a little redundant, who is it? After all, many of us know the story. Even if we don't participate in church very often, we know something about Jesus. Mark, whose story we're reading, at the very beginning, verse 1 says this. It's the beginning about the good news of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. And yet it seems that it's so often a question we struggle with. Who is Jesus? If he's the Son of God, why sometimes are my prayers not answered? If he's the Son of God, why is there so much suffering in the world? If he's the Son of God, why are we living in these pandemic conditions? On the other hand, if he's the Son of God, why do we try to hide things from him? If he's the Son of God, why do we try to make deals with him? It seems like we do struggle with the question, who is Jesus? Do you understand him? Can you comprehend his purposes? That certainly was an issue for these first disciples. Who was Jesus? Was he a teacher, a rabbi? Was he a prophet or a miracle worker? Was he the promised Messiah? Was he the King of Israel? Was he the Son of God? They had witnessed miracles being performed. Maybe they thought that's why they should turn to him in hard times. Someone who could fix problems. Someone who had a solution to every crisis. Mark, in his Greek language, calls this crisis a mega storm in verse 37. Those eastern winter windstorms, they come down off the Golan Heights that surround the Sea of Galilee without warning, and a fierce wind can almost start out of nowhere. It's why these veteran fishermen were so afraid of the storm. It came from nowhere, and it could disappear just as quickly. No wonder then that in the storm they would turn to Jesus for help. What else would you expect? He's already shown that he can help and fix situations. But what we discover is what they discovered. Jesus is in the back of the boat, sleeping with a comfy cushion. I like flying. I know some people hate it. I know people who take Gravol when they get in a plane so they can sleep through the experience. But Jesus hadn't taken any Gravol. He's just tired and sleeping in the back. And they're yelling, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Of course he cared. I mean, he was in the boat too. The storm would affect him as much as the rest of them. But it didn't seem like it. Didn't seem like anything at all. He didn't seem worried. He's just sleeping. Maybe he was tired after preaching. That's what they'd been doing before he got on the boat, preaching all afternoon. That's often what my Sunday afternoon looks like after preaching at all of our services. Or maybe he's just sleeping because he knows he's got nothing to be afraid of. But I wonder, maybe you wonder, is God still sleeping while we're suffering? There's a little saying that says, it's the thought that counts. When did you ever hear that? When your husband forgot to give you an anniversary gift? When your night out turned into a nightmare rather than a romance? When your birthday gift from your grandparents is so cheesy even your little sister doesn't want it? It's the thought that counts? No, it's not. Actions speak louder than words. There's a better saying. And in this case, Jesus was doing nothing. Absolutely nothing. He wasn't bailing water. He wasn't rowing. He wasn't hoisting a sail. He wasn't even praying. He was doing nothing. Now, if you'd dead weight in your boat like that, what would you do? Toss him over? Well, we might not like to admit it, but often that is our reaction when storms come our way. We could toss Jesus over the side. Is faith have any relevance for us anymore? There's a Peanuts cartoon I once liked. Charlie Brown's in it building a sandcastle that seemingly he's worked on for a very long time. He stands up, he's looking at it, he thinks he's done a great job, he admires it, and then this huge wave comes in and sweeps it all away. And he says to himself, "I know there's a lesson in all of this. I just don't know what it is." That's how life seems to us sometimes. There are so few explanations, we don't know what the lesson is. We're stuck in the waiting, quarantined, isolated, feeling perhaps overwhelmed with anxiety or grief. Next weekend, we're going to consider the concepts of fear and anxiety. I'm going to be joined by a psychologist who's a part of our church family as we think through these issues and think what it means to be finding our way from fear to freedom and faith. So let me ask you a question. Maybe if you've got a pen handy or a phone you could type on, you could write it down. Maybe you could have a conversation later on when we're all finished here. Because I think this is a great conversation for you and those you're sharing your home with. Like these disciples in the story, we find ourselves right now in a mega storm. There's the outer storm. For them, it was the wind and the waves on the lake. For us, it's the COVID pandemic and the economic chaos. But there's also an inner storm. They faced it, we faced it too. This inner storm of fear that's hard to get under control. Here's the question I'd like you to think about. Hopefully you can have a conversation about. When the winds of trouble blow, when waves of despair are rising, and it seems as though the little boat that is your life is going under, what do you do? Simple question. Hard to answer. When the winds of trouble are blowing, when the waves of despair are rising, and it seems as though your little boat, the life of your little boat, is going under, what do you do? Who do you turn to? My guess is for many of us, our normal reaction would be to turn to Jesus. Do something, Lord. Help me fix this mess. And guess what? If Jesus doesn't act quickly enough, or do it the way I thought he should, or he doesn't answer prayer that I want, we're all too quick. I'm all too quick to huck him overboard and forget him. What is the point of being a Christian anyway if it doesn't help? Where's God when you need him? So often our attitude becomes, if God can't or God won't, then I'm done. Maybe that's where you find yourself today. No wonder Jesus turns to his friends in the boat, right in the middle of the storm, and he says to them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Here's what I've noticed in this story. Here's what I think our big lesson is as we read it together. Here's what I'm coming to understand that God needs to do in my life if I'm to endure, if I'm to press on, if I'm to find my way in the middle of the storm. Here's what I need to understand. They wanted Jesus to do things. He wanted them to trust him. They wanted Jesus to do things. He wanted them to trust him. You see, Jesus was in the boat too. He hadn't left his disciples alone. He hadn't forgotten about them. He wasn't ignoring their plight. He wasn't indifferent to the crisis. He was right there in the boat with them. I mean, just take a moment. Explore the metaphor with me for just a minute or two. Imagine your life to be this beautiful sailboat. After all, verse 36 tells us there were other boats that left with Jesus. He was in a little flotilla crossing the sea. It wasn't just his boat. There were a lot of other ones too. Plenty of people were in this storm with him. So imagine the little boat of your life. Years of preparation that have gone into building it and getting it ready. You've cared for yourself. It's fitted out. It's tested. We've let ourselves loose in the open seas. And at first, all's going well. Journeys, expeditions, voyages, and adventures. Until one day, the storm shows up. The weather turns. Everything changes. And this storm has your name on it. It could be the pandemic. It could be a relational disaster. It could be illness. Could be the death of someone you love. Could be a financial crisis. It could be you've lost your job. Could be you can't pay your bills anymore. Maybe you've got legal or business difficulties in the time we're in. Maybe you've struggled with substance abuse. Maybe you've lived through a shattered dream and hope has evaporated. Maybe it's just the endless daily grind of getting up, trying to work from home, and nothing ever changes. Maybe it's watching your kids self-destruct. Maybe it's watching your parents self-destruct. What will happen? I'm pretty sure the answer depends on who's manning the little boat. The greatest discovery I've come to realize that any of us could ever make is to know that God loves us. To discover he truly loves us. And he wants to be part of those lives, our lives. All those times you've gone searching for God, they're nothing compared to the search that he has been on for you. That's why Jesus came. He's been on an all-out search for you. He wants to be involved in your life. He wants to be close up, real and personal. He longs to become the very center of your life. Right here today, his desire is that you would do that, that you'd invite him in to become the part that's missing in your life, to become the center that makes things whole. Invite him to take leadership in your journey. You could pause right now and do that. A simple prayer, a simple invitation wherever you're watching right now, and say, Jesus, I need you in my life this very moment. And if you're doing that, I'd love if you'd reach out, whether it's the comment or direct message. Let us know that you're doing that. We'd love to be in touch with you. We'd love to send you some resources to help you in this journey with Jesus that you're beginning or starting all over again with. You see, somehow, having Jesus on board the little sailing ship of our lives, it makes all the difference. We're not alone. We don't have to battle the storm by ourselves. We don't have to have all of the answers. He's simply asking us to trust. Yes, we want him to do something, but he's inviting us to trust him. You see, Jesus on this little boat is more than just an example of faith to us. Yes, he modeled faith, sleeping in the boat, not looking very worried. But ultimately, he wants to be more than our model. He wants to become the object of our faith. He wants us to trust him. Can you recognize his presence in your life? I'm guessing right now that's probably a challenge. Even when we've asked Jesus to become the center and focus of our life, when life gets complicated and challenging the way it is now, it is difficult to sense his presence. It's easy to forget he's in the boat. It's way easier to assume if he is, he's in the back sleeping, and he doesn't care too much. When problems crowd in, our vision slowly becomes limited as our world becomes smaller. We fail to recognize that Jesus is with us. Oh, I know somehow, cognitively, he's there. But the bills are mounting. And I know I can come online and participate in church activities. But when it's all over, I just go back to how things were in my living room before I started. It seems to make no difference. It feels as though none of this makes any impact upon my life. Problems haven't gone away. Difficulties have increased. Options become scarce. It gets harder to see what God's up to. But the issue is not that Jesus has gone away. Not if we trust him. If we've asked him to be with us, he's in the boat of our life too. The real issue is deep within me and deep within you. It's a question of focus. Do you focus on the problem or on the solution? Do you focus upon yourself or upon Jesus? Do we trust him or do we toss him overboard? Most of us find it hard to get to solutions. To be honest, most of us, me included, find it hard to stop being the center of our own little universe. Maybe that's why we find it hard to trust in Jesus when the storm rages. I can't change my focus. That's how it was for his friends in the boat. Their lack of ability to understand who he was, what he was doing, to really recognize who was with them in the boat, it wasn't due to the thickness of their heads. It was due to the hardness of their hearts. It was due to the hardness of their hearts. To recognize Jesus' presence with us in the most difficult of situations is really an invitation for him to change our hearts, to change my heart and your heart. It's to ask Jesus to become the focus of our lives instead of me and mine and all of my issues. It's to turn toward him. Do you need to do that today? One of my dear friends is waiting for his mom to die from COVID. She may go this weekend. His dad has it too. It's heartbreaking. And he can't go visit either of them. My mom died almost 19 years ago. She died on a Thursday. And on the Sunday my dad and I went to church, the rest of our family were still in Switzerland at the time. It wasn't an easy time. It was a lot of raw emotions. But I learned something that day. Somebody meaning well said to my dad, John, I'm surprised to see you here today. And my dad asked him, why? Where else would we go? Where else? I learned something from my dad that day. I discovered what it meant to recognize God's presence with us, even in the heartbreaking moments of life. Jesus is simply asking us to trust him. We want him to do something. He wants us to trust him. I think by now maybe you're grasping. Nobody's talking here about immediate solutions, magic formulas. The disciples had to wait quite a while in this storm before anything changed for them, and I don't suspect it will be anything different for you or for me. We're in this situation for some considerable time to come. But when Jesus is in the boat, things are different. He was the very picture of calm as his friends frantically struggled to stay afloat. He wasn't afraid, and when he spoke words of authority, the calm that was in his life extended to those around him. It extended to the waves and the wind. Everything suddenly became calm. Mark uses in verse 39 that mega word again. He called it a mega storm. Now he says it was mega calm. The peace in Jesus' heart had spread to his friends' hearts, even in the midst of the wind and waves. Suddenly, it was mega calm. Jesus didn't need to call on a higher power to help him. He was the higher power. Imagine the sailboat of your life, the storm that we're in, that you're in right now. Do you expect the calm? Do you anticipate it? Do you believe Jesus could do that for you? Can he bring mega calm into your situation today? I read a great story by a guy called Ken Davis. He recounts an incident that happened when a college student was asked to prepare something interesting in a speech class he was taking. It was to be graded on creativity. The students were supposed to find something memorable to do. And when this student got up, he called it the law of the pendulum. He spent 20 minutes describing the physical law, the principle that governs a swinging pendulum. Essentially this, a pendulum, once you let it go, can never return to a point higher than when it started. Because of air friction and gravity, it will always shorten its arc. Each swing will become a little lower. He got a child's toy out, a little toy, put it on a piece of string, attached it to a board, made a mark where it started and let it swing. And every time it came back, they'd make another chalk mark in the board. And each time, the thing got shorter and shorter till it came to a dead stop in the middle. The student asked how many people in the class believed that he was telling the truth, and every hand was up. Even the teachers, the professor, he was quite happy with the presentation so far. Everybody thought it was over, but the student went over to a wall at the side of the room. And on the wall they had this giant pendulum thing that had sat there doing nothing for a long time. 250 pounds of metal weight attached to four parachute cords that were each tested to 500 pounds. Nothing would snap. And he asked everybody, did they still believe how this was going? And they're all nodding and saying yes. He asked the teacher if he wouldn't mind getting up on the table and sitting on a chair, and he pulled the pendulum way back to the teacher's nose. And he asked the teacher, do you still believe in the law of the pendulum? Kind of timidly he said, yes. And then he let go, and the 250-pound weight swung, hit the peak of its arc, and began to swing back. The story goes nobody's ever seen a human being move at such a sprint off a table, off a chair, as fast in his life. He wasn't going to wait to see if it hit him in the face. No mega calm there. Now, don't be trying this at home, or at least if you do, don't blame me for the consequences. But I think we're like that teacher sometimes. We all sail through the calm blue seas with no worries, no regrets. We talk about trusting God because it's easy to do when we can see the sun in the horizon. But when the storm boat comes, when your little boat feels as though it's coming underwater, when that pendulum is swinging back at full force towards your face, it's a different story then. Jesus asks us to trust. We want him to do something. He's asking us to trust him. Reading this story, Mark is helping me. He's helping me to trust a Savior who doesn't deliver us from the storm, but through the storm. As Rob Reamer puts it, he says, Jesus doesn't always calm the storm for us, but he is the calm in the storm. That's a hard lesson. You know why it's so hard? Because we want life to be predictable, that's why. We want life to be predictable. We want a rational explanation for something that happens so we can package it up, put it in a box, and say, this is why. That's why. Explanations, they give us the illusion of control. We know what's going on in the world. We can explain it away. We can understand why something happened. Maybe then I could stop it happening again. Maybe. But for most of us, life is not so simple and rarely comes under our control. Accidents happen, storms break out, diseases come our way, irreversible damage happens to our bodies, to our relationships, to our plans and finances. We want the illusion of control. So here's the real question I want to ask us this weekend. Where is your faith? Is it there in the storm? Or only on the sunny days? Do we trust Jesus when life is falling apart with no explanation? Or only when he wonderfully answers my prayers? The Titanic was thought to be unsinkable. My wife's great-grandfather helped build it. That's why I think it sank. He forgot to put the plug in the bottom. But that's unkind, I suppose. It was supposed to be the greatest ocean liner ever built. The brochure that was used for the first sailing of the ship, I've got a facsimile copy of it at home. It describes the work of the people that built it. It uses the word that we laugh at, unsinkable. Unsinkable. And yet there were problems. The rudder was too small to steer the ship quickly out of danger. The ship's bulkheads did not go all the way through the decks. It only had a single, not a double hull. The rivets that were used to put it together were considered to be substandard. It was very sinkable. Ask Leonardo DiCaprio, he was there. Our lives are just as sinkable. Circumstances seem overwhelming. Our strength and ingenuity is limited. It isn't very hard for our little ships to go under. But I also know that with Jesus on board, the little sailing boat of your life will never sink. His presence makes all of the difference. His guarantee is you'll never go down. It may not be easy. There may be hurt and scars and pain along the way, but you'll never sink. He promises even to be there in the moment of death, even at death when all seems lost. Jesus says he will never let go. Henry Nouwen was a Dutch priest. I've so been inspired by his life and by his writings. He's had an amazing ministry and insight into the heart of God. One of my favorite stories that he recounts was how much he loved the circus. He used to go visiting it often. His favorite act was the flying trapeze. You know what that is. There's two people in the air, one swinging and the other one goes flying round and round and gets caught by the second one. He loved how it came to be. He got to know the circus performers, and they explained to him that the real star was not the flyer who would let go and tumble and fly through the air. We have our eyes wide open, gasping at the person with the courage to do that. But the circus performers taught him something. The flyer is not the hero. The flyer is not the star. The real star is the catcher. The real star was the catcher hanging on to the flying trapeze by their legs with their arms outstanded, extended. All the flyer has to do is reach out. The flyer never tries to catch hold. The flyer just puts their hands out and waits for the catcher to catch. Would that scare you? I think it would terrify me. There's one last mega in this story, though, in Mark's original language. He talked about the mega storm. He talked about the mega calm. In verse 41, just as Jesus calms the storm, he describes the disciples as being mega afraid. They were in the presence of the ultimate catcher, God himself. They were terrified. They were mega afraid. Henry Nouwen, in his book, describes how the circus performers taught him and allowed him to try the flying trapeze just one time. He records in his journal what it meant, what they taught him he had to do. All he had to do was let go, fly, put out his hands, and trust, trust, trust. The catcher was there. Are you ready? Are you ready to do that with Jesus? To extend your hands?
and trust that the catcher is there. If you'd like me to pray with you today, why don't you write your prayer request in the comments right now? And as I participate in the service with you, I'll take the time to pray with you and to pray for you today. So let's join our hearts right now and lift them to Jesus. Lord Jesus, we live in a weird, strange time. We call it unprecedented. We're all locked up at home and don't know where to go. We're struggling to do our jobs. We're struggling to pay our bills. We have loved ones in seniors' homes and hospitals we can't visit. It's hard to trust. And we are mega afraid. And so today, in the middle of the storm, we pray that you would help us to find faith and courage to reach out to you. Maybe for the first time, for the 10th time, for the 100th time. But today we're saying we need you. And in faith we simply lift up our hands to you and say, would you catch us? Would you carry us through this storm? Even when we want you to do things, first and foremost we're going to ask, would you help us to trust you? Because we pray in your name, our risen Savior. Amen.